Hello, I'm Kitty and we're talking health. Today we'll talk about being outside and then hugs and other greetings, followed by the health benefits of having a pet. So, let's start with being outside. Being outside, before lockdown, how much time did you actually spend outside? By that, I mean doing something other than essentially needed stuff. What did you do when you were outside before lockdown? These two questions I asked a number of friends, and I also pondered on it myself. My friends told me that they loved being outdoors too pre-lockdown, and they usually did this in the company of others, mainly dog walking or running errands for others. They described being happier whilst out of their homes, getting fresh air and enjoying cups of coffee from the beach kiosk, just enjoying being out. Many people will feel fortunate that they were able to spend a lot of time outside pre the lockdown, maybe doing the work they loved or spending time doing a variety of tasks whilst enjoying the freedom. Being constrained in your home and your garden for a long period of time makes you think about what you actually miss about being outside in the wider world. Now that restrictions are being relaxed in measured stages, you might think that people would jump at the chance to be outside again. Well, several of my friends spoke with trepidation about venturing outside on a social basis in the future, even with social distancing. Whilst two friends related to me their joy in being able to exercise again for longer periods, instead of just taking the dog for a walk once a day, they mentioned being able to go out in the car now with the dog to their usual walking haunts again, and that was such a joy, explaining just how different things looked in their long-missed usual walking routes. Indeed, most people commented about the world looking different. Nature seemed to have blossomed in the absence of humans, and that the flowers looked much brighter and the air seemed so much bluer. Is that a word? I don't know, but I quite like that word a lot. Going out after a number of weeks and having the liberty to do so is a joy both to the mind and the body, and it is almost like a new world. You're rediscovering things you'd forgotten. To some people, though, it's an assault on their senses, having lived a slower-paced life for an extended period. It was described to me as the world is way too fast, much faster than I remember. In the last few months, everyone has seen a complete change to their lives, and being at home may feel like a safer option. Times are approaching when going out is going to resume as before, albeit with some changes in terms of distancing, one-way systems in shops, alterations to the way things are done, as well as face coverings and hygiene requirements. This may cause anxiety to some people. Perhaps before lockdown, some people may already have had concerns about going out without the added stress of the pandemic. So, if you're worried or concerned about going out again, what can you do? Anxiety UK have some great tips for dealing with this, so here they are. Number one, get yourself back into some type of outdoor routine. Try to go outside for short periods to begin with. Lengthen the time as you feel you can on a gradual basis. Get used to the sounds, the smells and the noises you encounter. A little exercise may help to alleviate your anxiety too, which is a positive thing, isn't it? Don't rush to do everything at once. Plan your time out to reduce your worries. Socially distance from others. If someone's coming your way, stand still and wait for them to pass. If you're not sure, ask someone at the door. No one expects you to know the changes. And number three, take it slowly. Do outside things in a planned way. A sort of phased return, as it were. A way to resume being outdoors again. And remember, life will resume again outside. It may not be the same, but it is still life, just a little different to what you were used to. In the next segment, we will talk about hugs and other greetings. The second part of tonight's Talking Health is about hugs and other greetings. Hugs and other greetings and tactileness, as we know them, have changed in a serious way, haven't they? They don't just happen anymore, like they used to. Indeed, Even being in the close presence of others, you're not living in the same household with, is not a thing to do nowadays for obvious reasons. Do you hug others usually? Is it your thing? If it is your thing, do you miss it and why? At the moment, I know I could so do with a good hug from a friend. I miss hugs, I seriously do. You may ask, what do I miss about not being able to hug others? Well, for me, it is a simple thing. It's about togetherness. It's about showing someone you care without even using words. It's about sharing emotions and empathising with others, but in a non-verbal way. It is much more, but these for me are the main ones. Being a tactile person and sharing your life with them socially is a great delight. Hugging helps both your body and your mind, and it certainly reduces stress in times of need. Hugging someone helps both the person offering the hug and the person accepting it. We must remember, though, to ask the person if they would like a hug, because some people are not comfortable with hugs, and remember, it's a personal thing. The fact that we're living in very strange times when no touch is the key word seems almost alien and very unreal, doesn't it? However, as adults, we can understand the rationale and take the appropriate steps to be there for people when we can't sit next to them or hug them. Being in lockdown and communicating in very different ways, using social media, video links, the telephone, or even the odd letter to someone, has perhaps altered the way we interact with others socially. I don't mean that we're different now. What I mean is, can you still share love, concern, empathy, and other things with others if you can't be physically next to them or offer them a hug to show you care and you're there for them? Personally, I now speak to everybody who comes into my garden to deliver things, and I generally say thank you more than once. It made me think about what I value in other people. Was it the conversation, the environment we were in at the time, or was it the physical togetherness in the same room, sharing the same space, as it were? I think for me, it's definitely about being in the same physical space as someone else, sharing time and experience with them, whatever we're doing at the time. I met a friend recently in the field near me. We observed the social distancing as you do, and we shared a coffee, she on one side of the field and me on the other. Interesting conversation took place, and we both commented how weird it felt being in the same place but being apart, while eating cake and drinking coffee together for the first time in ages. We both realised the importance of social distancing and that it was in our best interest to do this, and strangely we both commented about wishing we could hug each other again. Wearing a mask if you meet people socially too is a difficult thing, isn't it? I have a hearing deficit and I rely a lot on eye and facial expressions. With a mask on, I can't see others' faces, and therefore I've got to think about conversations a lot more deeply, and that takes a lot more energy. In normal times, a hug, a handshake are just things we've taken for granted, I think. Hugs certainly make you happier, and they help reduce fear, and they help to you to communicate with others if you're not able to communicate verbally too. Someone once said, we need 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for maintenance, and 12 hugs a day for growth. Such a great sentiment, don't you think? Now, not being able to touch someone's arm when they're in distress, hug someone to say hello or goodbye, or greeting little ones with a hug is such a strain. You so know you want to, but you can't, and it is in both your interests and that of others too. Saying hello or goodbye has changed too, hasn't it? Do you use handshakes? Do you pat someone on the shoulder? In the new way of being together, will the namaste praying gesture or Star Trek's Spock Vulcan gesture replace hugs and pats? Who knows the answer to that? Time will tell, I guess. As an end to the hug segment today, here is a lovely little quote by an unknown author I found. Rather lovely, I think. A hug is a handshake from the heart. Aww. Coming up next, we'll be talking about pets. The third segment of Talking Health today is about the health benefits of having a pet. Now, the health benefits of having a pet are many. Do you have a pet? What kind is it? Does it live indoors with you or outdoors? Both pets and humans benefit from interaction with each other, don't they? Pets are such loyal companions. They are non-judgmental and they don't answer back in theory. Well, my cat meows. Pets are such a delight to have, in my humble opinion. Over the years, I've had many different types of pets, from lambs to goats, dogs to cats, chickens to peacocks. Personally, whilst I love all animals, cats are my favourite. I'm not sure why that is, but that's how it is for me. At this time, I've one cat as my pet and he is a loyal companion. He needs me as much as I need him. We coexist quite nicely. On occasion, he will bring me a dead mouse as a present. Lovely, not. I, on the other hand, provide food, love, a warm cat bed for him and, of course, cat treats. And he provides much love for me. So, what are the health benefits of having a pet? Let's have a chat about some of the things I think may be important. There is a lot of research to suggest that pets help humans a great deal. They provide a source of comfort and support. They can reduce your blood pressure and also help your heart. In some cases, making sure you take physical exercise, for example, walking. Watching fish swim around has a real relaxation benefit. Pets can help to reduce loneliness and they motivate people to be more active and social too. Just feeding your pet and spending time with it makes a person feel needed and it does help if you're feeling low in mood. Here on the island there's a great organisation called Ability Dogs for Young People. I had the pleasure of speaking with Carol Court a year or so ago and I remember being in awe at some of the things the Ability Dogs are enabling youngsters to do independently. The Pat Dog Scheme is another one, visiting those people who are not able to go out and enabling them to have contact with dogs. So lovely. Along with donkeys from the Isle of Wight Donkey Sanctuary and rabbits and other animals from other places being able to visit those who cannot venture far. It is such a joy to see people connect with the animals. The smiles on their faces say it all for me. If you're feeling sad or unwell, pets can help just by being there. Providing companionship, their ability to spend time unconditionally with you. They just sit there, don't they, and they share their love. Pets help people socialise. Now it's said a great way to meet a new partner is to take a dog for a walk. I don't know how true that actually is, but isn't it a great way of connecting with others and making new friends? Pets provide companionship, very useful if you live alone. Having my cat meet me on the track as my car pulls up when I return home is such a great welcome. Animals bring intention. They bring attention. They bring compassion to humans. And also they do this without thinking about it. It's part of them. Their attention is focused on you. It is clear that pets help people. And I know that people help pets too. A lot of people on the island are carers for all sorts of animals in need. It is heartwarming to see that if a pet disappears or is unwell, just how many people will help. In summary, pets are just the best. They help add structure and routine to your day. They provide sensory stress relief and, best of all, they give you a purpose in life. Hurrah to pets, I say.